Just a Minute from 1992, and it's the one where Stephen Fry makes his debut. Over to you, Nicholas.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four exciting and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Derek Nimmo, Wendy Richard, and Paul Merton, and also we welcome for the very first time Stephen Fry. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Anne Ling, who is going to keep the score and also blow her whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I will ask them to speak if they can without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject, which is on the card in front of me. Let us begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is what to put on a muffin. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, I suppose there's all kinds of things you put on a muffin. You can have butter, jam, or marmalade, or indeed you could put a bicycle on top of a muffin. Anything at all, really. I don't know anything about muffins.
And Derek Nimmo,
repetition of say.
Yes, you. What more can I say? What can I say? Derek got in with a correct challenge, so he gets a point for that, of course. He takes over the subject of what to put on a muffin. There are 40 seconds left, Derek, starting.
A muffin the mule is a charming little quadruped, much seen on children's television, who's now making a comeback. I often like muffin. Terribly fun and amusing and charming, don't you think? Also, what's the matter?
Wendy.
I think that's the wrong sort of muffin. I think you've gone completely off your trolley.
Because
it could be any kind of muffin.
It could be any kind of muffin. I wondered if you could actually understand what he was talking about, could you?
I was trying to put a bit of pace into it.
Yes.
That's the only time I've ever heard you speak quickly. Normally, you string it all out so you can get the 60 seconds.
Well. Wendy, no, I mean, you can take the subject any way you like, and he's said it must be Muffin the Mule. Derek, you have another point. 30 seconds are left, starting now.
In the 19th century, a muffin was a man who followed young girls. And I suppose in that case, you would put on to a muffin a policeman to make sure they didn't do anything improper with the ladies that he was pursuing. Onto a muffin, which is like a crumpet, I would put, of course, butter and jam and honey and all those lovely gooey things which I enjoy hugely. Muffin the Mule, I would have put on what was
mine. And Stephen Fry has challenged.
I think that's our second mule. I think we had one in a previous version when you first talked
about it. Yes, absolutely right.
You've never played the game before, and you very cleverly got in with 1 second to go. So what to put on a muffin is a subject with you, having gained a point, of course, now.
Marmalade, of course, is...
So at the end of that round, Stephen was speaking as the whistle went, and whoever does that gets an extra point, so he has 2 points into the round. Derek Nimmo also has 2 points, so they are equal in the lead. And Stephen Fry, will you take the next round? And the subject we've chosen for you is Wilhelm Furtwängler. Can you tell us something about it? I'm sure it's been specially chosen for you, but there are 60 seconds to keep going, if you can, starting now.
Well, Wilhelm Furtwängler, as he should probably be pronounced, because there's an umlaut on the A in his name, was a great Germanic conductor of particular...
Yes, there were. But he's never played the game before, I think, really, that was a bit... The audience are
entirely... And they reduced the price of his book at Dillon's, haven't they?
Stephen, I'm not going to allow that.
Well, thank you.
And
nobody's ever called him that before.
No. Stephen, you have 49 seconds to continue with the subject, Wilhelm Furtwängler.
Well, Wilhelm Furtwängler was noted chiefly for his interpretations of Wagner, the great German composer of opera and so forth. He performed many times at the Salzburg Festival, where he you know, it's a lot more difficult than it seems when you're listening on the radio. My respect for Paul and Wendy and Derek, which was previously a rock bottom, it's extraordinary. These people are brilliant. I don't know what they're doing. Never mind, carry on.
Paul, you challenge first. You have the subject, and there are 36 seconds left. Wilhelm Furtwängler, starting now.
Wilhelm Furtwängler was the winner of the silliest name competition in 1966. He won several years in a row after that, right?
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He won twice.
Stephen Fry.
This is impossible because he died in 1954.
yes, but his name lives on.
I think the one you were talking about, the real one, was different to the one Paul was. So, Derek, you had a correct challenge. 26 seconds on Wilhelm Furtwängler, starting now.
I was wandering in this rather seedy part of Hamburg, and this man came up to me and said, my name is Wilhelm Furtwängler, I thought he said. And he said, no, it's Furtwängler. I said, what an extraordinary...
So there's an extraordinary hesitation, I think.
Yeah, there's extraordinary hesitation, I quite agree. And you have 13 seconds on the subject, starting now.
His interpretation of Tristan and Isolde with Alfred Soothouse as the eponym, and... why did I bother?
Derek, another point and 8 seconds on the subject, starting now.
I have many records when he was conducting, and I do think they're amongst my most treasured possessions. Unfortunately, I only have them on one day.
Derek Nero was in speaking again as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and has moved his lead even further forward. Stephen Fry still in second place, then comes Paul Merton, and then Wendy Richard. Derek, your turn to begin. The subject is wearing spats. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute? You can start now.
Now, wearing spats is a question I would very much like to have because for some considerable time I...
Wendy, what's your chance?
Hesitation.
He'd forgotten the name of the play he was in, yes. Wendy, you've got in with a very sharp challenge on wearing spats. 54 seconds are left, starting now.
I think spats are a lovely men's fashion. My father used to wear spats. I think it's very elegant. Apart from that, it also helps you save on shoe polish because you only have to clean the part of your footwear which is showing below and around the spats. They used to come in various colours, and you can get several little buttons or just one or two fasteners on the side. As I said before,
Derek Nimmo, chance.
Repetition.
Of what?
Self-confessed repetition, as she said before.
As she said before. I have to be sure, because sometimes you challenge just to bluff one out of it. Derek, correct challenge, 30 seconds, wearing spats, starting now.
Originally were part of military wear, and you've still seen them with the Scottish Regiment. In the summer, they were worn in white canvas, and in the winter months...
Wendy, challenge.
I think he's hesitating, you know.
No.
You don't think so?
It was very close. No, I don't think that was...
One moment I'm going too fast, and the next moment I'm going too slow.
I've got the measure of you now,
For our listeners, Wendy and Derek Nimmo are sitting on one side together, and Derek's now got his arm around Wendy, and Stephen Fry and Paul Merton on the other side.
I haven't got my arm around Paul Merton.
I know people like to have visual images of the people who are performing. 21 seconds for Derek on wearing spats, starting now.
Spats are the form.
Paul Merton challenge.
For the people at home who like visual images, I would like to point out that I'm wearing a jumper.
Concerned with the sartorial wear of the cast, Nicholas Parsons is in a sports jacket. Wendy is wearing a...
I made a joke, Nicholas. It's short-term memory. That's your problem. It's difficult, it's sad.
Some of your jokes are short-term memory in my case. But it was an interruption, so unfortunately Derek does get a point, and he continues the 20 seconds on wearing spats, starting now.
Spats are the spawns of shellfish, and if one was going to wear them, I suspect they'd have to put them on the edge of a hat, rather like Antipodeans wear corks, because they really would be rather niffy. The spats that you wear on your feet...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of wear...
Yes, you've been wearing yes, because wearing is not hard, but wear is not to be repeated. So 6 seconds for you, Paul, on wearing spats, starting now.
My grandfather was a great man for wearing spats. He used to wear
the
all sorts of occasions.
Then speaking of the whistle, Wendt gained that extra point. He's equal to Stephen Fry in second place. Derek Nimmerston in the lead, and Wendy is trailing a little. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Nell Gwynn. Can you tell us something about her in this game, starting now?
Well, Nell Gwynn, I suppose, is remembered as Charles II's bit of stuff. She would sell oranges round the Covent Garden area. Drury Lane as well, I believe, was part. She would walk the streets and cry, "Who will buy my lovely Jaffers?" And various people would say, "Oh, they look good, I wouldn't mind giving them a squeeze." And they'd take home four or five of them for the children at home to play with.
Stephen Fry challenge.
Did he say home twice then?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's in charge?
It's Stephen, well listen, 34 seconds for you now to tell us something about Nell Gwynn, starting now.
"Let not poor Nelly starve" was said to be Charles II's dying phrase, though I don't think he actually said it as an obit dicta, but it's
a... Derek Nimmochan said twice.
Oh, good.
Yes, he did. Yes. Yes, but I do think you're way out in the lead, Derek. I think we can allow it.
I don't think Stephen Fry requires pity.
Doesn't require pity. I'm just wishing to gain
it's
confidence.
It's all favouritism tonight, isn't it?
No, no. I'm
ever since Stephen called him sweetie, isn't it?
All right, once more, Stephen, you have the benefit of the doubt. 26 seconds for you to continue on Nell Gwynn, starting now.
It's a pub, of course, in the Old Witch or thereabouts, the Strand, perhaps. It serves all kinds of drinks and was famous recently for a bit of a fracas, which had unfortunate repercussions around the world, which by the time this goes out will probably be far from topical. However, like most public houses, it has within its purlieu or bailiwick a number of optics and a great many beams and horse brasses and things of that. And is named after the Nell Gwynn that this subject, I suppose, is really all about.
Well, you see, putting Stephen under pressure, he got the bit between his teeth. He did magnificently. He kept going until the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's in second place, just behind Derek Nimmo, ahead of Paul Merton, and Wendy is in fourth place. And your turn to begin, Wendy. The subject, forecasts. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I never take any notice of weather forecasts because I don't believe they have much accuracy about them at all. I also include in forecasts the horoscopes. Now, just last week I read mine and it said, "You'll be hearing of a large sum of money." I received that day. One was an income tax demand for an incredible amount of money, and the other a demand for several more pounds.
Paul Merton challenged.
Unfortunately, repetition of demand.
Yes, they were demanding too much from you, Wendy. And so, Paul's got him with the correct challenge. Another point to him, and 36 seconds left on forecasts, Paul, starting now.
There are all kinds of people who try to forecast the weather through amateur means. They hang up seaweed outside their window, or they look at what the cows are doing in the fields. There's all other kinds of...
And Stephen Fry challenged.
Lots of alls and kinds.
Yes, there were indeed, Stephen. Well, listen, 23 seconds for you to tell us something about forecasts, starting now.
Me and Mike.
And Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. 22 seconds for you, Paul, on forecast, starting now.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, Derek, a hesitation there. 20 seconds for you, Tim.
Standing in the Blackwater River, which is a tributary of the Bewley, I had to make at least four casts before I hooked my salmon. I was using a collie dog, which is a rather curious fluffy fly, but very effective if you are in that particular water looking for that.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of water?
Yes.
Blackwater is one word.
That's right, you were Blackwater. Well done, yes, sorry. Bad luck. Well tried, yes. Yeah. 6 seconds for you to continue, Derek, on forecast, starting now.
I never miss the weather forecast on television because of the little funny manner to make me laugh a great
deal. Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation, there's a weather forecast on just now and you've missed it. You never missed the weather forecast.
A very clever challenge of deviation, Paul. You've got me 1 second to go on forecast, starting now.
All kinds of betting systems...
Cleverly got back with only 1 second to go, and he's now moved into second place, just ahead of Stephen Fry, and only just 3 points behind Derek Nimmo, and Wendy's still trailing a little. Stephen, it's your turn to begin. The subject is New York.
New York, New York. So good they named it.
I was too quick on my buzzer.
Well, you were, actually, because I hadn't actually told him to start.
Oh, hadn't you? That was good again.
The subject is New York, and you start now.
New York, New York. So good they named it twice, the old song goes. Of course, people who live in that city have the address twice because... Oh, hell,
Wendy,
twice.
Richard.
I said it because I knew Wendy would get it. That's really good.
Yes, please. The chivalrous, I think.
The chivalrous. Good Lord, the things they say when they don't succeed. 51 seconds for you, Wendy, to take over New York starting now.
I have never been to New York, but I do look forward to paying a visit there, hopefully, in the new year. I understand.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid. So the thought of going, she hesitated. 45 seconds then, he said there's something about New York, starting now.
New York was originally called New Amsterdam, but then it was bought by us, or rather filched by the British, and rechristened New York. Unfortunately, there are one particular area still named after that family, the...
Stephen Fry challenge.
Oh, did you say named twice, or have I gone
no,
to keep
no,
it?
No,
oh, what a
pity.
Yes,
no,
I did say it twice.
Yes, it was named, that's right. It was New Amsterdam, it was named New Amsterdam.
Yeah. Nick wouldn't have picked it up.
No. No, of course not. No. Sometimes you wonder why I'm here, coincidentally. Stephen, you have a correct challenge in 32 seconds on New York, starting now.
I like the Isle of Manhattan, smoke on your pipe and put that in, as one lyricist had it. Of course, I believe it was founded by Peter Stuyvesant, the man, not the cigarette, of course. That would be absurd to have some kind of fag founding a city, don't we? Say that about San Francisco. Mind you, the great thing about New York, the metropolitan area, is it comprises Staten Island.
Oh,
it's so tense.
Yes, 12 seconds for you to tell us something about New York, starting now.
I want to be a part of it, New York, New York. That is the way the rest of the lyrics go to that particular song that Stephen mentioned earlier. What a wonderful metropolitan city.
Well, Derek is still in the lead, then comes Paul Merton, and then Stephen Fry, and Wendy, surprisingly, is in fourth place. Derek Nimmo, it's your turn to begin. The subject is BBC Radio. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
In the United Kingdom today, we have BBC One and BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC Four, BBC Five, BBC Radio Nottingham, BBC...
Wendy?
He's listing. Now, we had this out last year, didn't we? We're not doing lists.
But you don't, actually. You have Radio 3 and Radio 4. It's not BBC 3 and BBC 4, so it was deviation, wasn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely right, Wendy. So you have 46 seconds for you to tell us something about BBC Radio, Wendy, starting now.
I have had the good fortune to work for BBC Radio on several occasions. I always enjoy this as I see my dear friend Anne Ling and Nicholas Parsons. A pleasure to see any of them.
Paul Merton challenge.
I'm afraid repetition of C.
Yes.
What a hideous sycophancy, I mean.
This is coming good from somebody who called Nicholas Sweetie earlier.
I thought there would be something nice about you, you see.
No. Yes.
You'll never know, no.
Yeah, that's true. Any way to keep going, it doesn't matter. Paul, you had a correct challenge, another point. 34 seconds. BBC Radio starting now.
The BBC Radio Light Entertainment Department has a long and glorious history. If we go back to the 1940s, we can recall such shows as Bandwagon.
When you challenged.
That's the only one I could recall.
Yes, Traded
Please. Itmar was the one I was trying to think of.
Oh, yes. And Much Binding in the Marsh.
That's no good to me now, is it, sweetie?
Twenty 3 seconds for you, Wendy, on BBC Radio, starting now.
I have done several plays for BBC.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Tradition of Dumb.
I've only just started.
Last time you said it.
I'm
I could have been at home watching the weather forecast.
Wendy, if you really
I
did...
Video
go on,
it,
sweetie, don't worry. Go on.
Miss Derek, you challenged
me. Oh, well, go on, then. Do another list.
21 seconds, Derek, on BBC Radio, starting now.
The gauwriter in charge of BBC Radio is one David Hatch, who was the first person to direct this particular programme many years ago, when he also performed in a very well-known wireless programme, which is called I'm Sorry, I'll Do That Again.
Stephen Fry.
He said direct this programme and then a very well-known wireless programme.
What's wrong with wireless programme.
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 Yes, too many programmes.
I think you'd like to repeat words, yes. Derek. I think that's
absolutely
true.
Yes. Too many programmes. Right. BBC Radio is with you, Stephen. 8 seconds left, starting now.
Of course, the original gauwriter of the BBC was David.
No, that's good. Imitation.
Yes.
Very bad one.
So he was deviating from his normal voice.
An incoherent, yes. Deviation.
5 seconds for you to say something about BBC Radio, starting now.
The ninth.
And Derek Nimmerchan.
Hesitation.
No. Four and a half seconds on BBC Radio, Paul, starting now.
The 1950s saw such...
For Stephen Fry.
It's a repetition of 19. He was talking about the 1940s.
Yes, you talked about the 1940s, saw it before. Now you've got the 1950s, so that is repetition.
Extraordinary decision, Sweezy.
He's a honey puddle, isn't he?
I'll never survive this, I really... There are 2 seconds for you, darling, on BBC Radio, starting now. Stephen.
It used to be a decent institution where words like sweetie.
Right. We're turning into the most theatrical performance of Just a Minute we've ever had. Well, Derek Nimmer's still in the lead, but only one ahead of Paul, and he's only one ahead of Stephen, and Wendy's catching up on the three of them. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, deal. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, a deal, I suppose, is an arrangement between one or two people, or perhaps even more. For instance, if I was to say to Nicholas Parsons, I will give you £15 for that jacket, that would be a very good deal as far as Nicholas was concerned.
Wendy, challenge.
It's two Nicholases.
Yeah, there are two Nicholases. You can't have too much of Nicholas, can you? The exception just a minute. So, Wendy, a correct challenge. 42 seconds, starting now.
I enjoy going round antique markets and hopefully get...
And Stephen Fry, challenge.
There's a lot of hesitation there.
I'm afraid it was, yes. And Stephen, you have the subject of deal. 37 seconds, starting now.
I think it's a town on the south coast where resides one of my very favourite living authors, Simon Raven, author of the Arms for Vivian series.
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Revolution of War, huh?
No, authors and author, I think it was.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Mm. Oh, right, right.
Yes. So, Paul is working for Stephen Fry, and Stephen, the incorrect challenge, you still have the subject of deal, 31 seconds starting now.
A hardwood from a non-renewable source, I believe. Our desks at school were made of deal, and very tough and resilient they were, too. I carved into the deal my initials, SJF, and put next to it, I hate Mr. Miller, in very large letters. Deal can take that kind of punishment, shove on some polish, and there it is, good as new the very next day. What deal can't take, however, is fire.
Poor challenge.
Repetition of take.
Yes, oh, yes, you can take it, but you can't take it. Yes. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. Tell us something about deals starting now.
I once entered a remarkable deal with a friend of mine. I bet him 15. Nah!
Stephen
Fry. Why did I say
15 was the sum offered ludicrously for your jacket.
Rudely offered for my jacket.
I could have said anything but 15.
Well, that was only because you have a guilty conscience about being so rude about my jacket.
I think it's a good price.
Stephen, you had a correct challenge. You've still got the subject of deal, and you have 2 seconds. That's all, starting now.
Gentlemen, we have a deal, are the words which greet you when you first...
Well, you'll be interested to hear that our first-time player of the game, Stephen Fry, has, with the success he's achieved and the style that he's shown and some of the other phrases that he's come up...
The best term of endearment I ever spent, wasn't it?
Yes. You've taken the lead ahead of Derek Nimmer and Paul Merton, who are equal in second place, as we come to the last round. And Wendy, the subject is style. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Style is something you cannot acquire. You either have it or not. Nicholas has a modicum of style, as one can see by this wonderful jacket that Paul Merton seems determined to give him 15 quid for. Personally, I think he's being slightly overgenerous. From a distance, the said garment does look all right. I like to think...
Derek Nimmich has this.
No.
I was drawing for...
Well, your mouth looked like a goldfish. I see your tonsils, you know.
Oh, yes.
You shouldn't have been looking so closely, Derek. Wendy, I disagree with the challenge. You have another point. You have style, and you keep going in style for 38 seconds if you can, starting now.
Style could also be the way one interprets a role or a piece of music if one is a singer. And, like...
Stephen Fry.
I thought it was a bit of hesitation there. Yeah,
thank you, Stephen. No.
Yes, it was a bit of hesitation. So, Stephen, you have 29 seconds to tell us something about style, starting now.
Le style, c'est l'homme, somebody said, French, I expect, meaning the style is the man. There was Das Stil, of course, which was an artistic movement in the early 20th century, also known as neoplasticism, of which Mondrian was a leading proponent. Style, however, is also regarded...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Out of Nicholas Parsons' depth.
You speak for yourself, Derek.
Can you repeat any of that?
Yes, all those neoplasticism of the 18th century and the soubriquet of Le Style and for you. I was listening at repetition of deviation. Now, I won't give you a bonus point for a rocket challenge. I'll just let Stephen have a point for being interrupted. And 15 seconds on style, starting now.
Like Noel Coward is always considered to be an epitome of style of the 20th century. Beau Brummel, perhaps, in the 18th and Latin part of the...
Yes.
I thought you were going to get a repetition of the 18th, 19th. Seems to work with 19, doesn't it?
6 seconds are left, Derek, for you to tell us something about style, starting now.
I remember helping this old lady over a style, and she was immensely great.
Stephen Fry challenge.
I can see on the card it's written S-T-Y-L-E, not S-T-I-L-E.
Stephen, I have to explain, it is how it sounds. We're on radio at the moment.
Realise. Homophones are all right, are they?
Oh, yes.
Good.
You took deal as in... Well, that's all spelled the same way, but it doesn't matter.
Yes, it is. It's spelled exactly the same way, isn't it? I take your point absolutely. I never spoke.
Yes, it is radio. It's how
I'm
it sounds.
I'm a silly old fool. Pay me no, never mind.
No, you've given Derek another point, I'm afraid, and he has 3 seconds to continue in style, starting now.
I picked up my style on the wax tablet and inscribed my name, which was...
And Derek, keeping going very cleverly until the whistle went and gaining that all-important extra point for speaking as the whistle went, you have gone 1 point ahead. So let me give you the final score. Wendy, who's done so well in the past, gave us full measure again but finished in fourth place. Paul Merton, who always gives full value, finished in third place. Stephen Fry has not played the game, and he played it like a real sweetie. He really did. And... did extraordinarily well. He came only 1 point behind the chap who's got most points, so we call him the winner this week, Derek Nimmo. We do hope that you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and will want to tune in again at the same time next week. It only remains for me to say now, on behalf of our players of the game, Wendy Richard, Derek Nimmo, Stephen Fry, Paul Merton, and Anne Ling, who's been keeping the score, and also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Sarah Smith, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. Thank you very much for tuning in. We hope you'll be with us again the next time we all play Just a Minute.
I think Stephen Fry did pretty well for his first show, don't you?